Yeshua Jacobson, Parashas B'Shalach.
Okay, ready to start?
Yeah.
Okay. Morning, Rabbi Yisai. I'm in the middle of trying to put together a sefer about going on vacation, and it gives me opportunity to come across some subjects that otherwise I wouldn't necessarily go so much into. I found a very interesting one about the Birkas Ariya. People often, they go on holiday, so around Manchester, as beautiful a city as it is, but we don't see the mountains, we don't see the sea, so the opportunity comes up when we go on vacation to make these unusual brachas. And I saw some very geschmack lomdas and interesting ideas that maybe is not so well known. Everything I'm going to say, I give my typical hakdama, which is that I don't intend it to be halacha l'maisa, but rather a basis to ask a well-informed question, should you be in the matzav. So we'll begin with the Mishnah in Brachas. A lot of this, I'll say, maybe the beginnings people would be familiar with, but we'll see as we go on, things get quite fascinating and complicated. So if you know the Mishnah already and the Gemara already, so bear with me, we will move on to harder things. So the Mishnah says in Brachas and Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, Alaharim v'gavoyis, and gavoyis is actually kind of a tricky word to translate, because I think most of us would say gavoyis is hills, right? But if you're making brachas on mountains, so then, and we see in the poskim that it has to be a big, impressive mountain, so then why are we also making brachas on hills? Hills, by definition, are less impressive. So
there's no mountains there, then the hills could be better.
Could be. But if the Mishnah is, okay, it's actually, it's going to be a subject which I probably won't get today. I just want to throw out that it's redundant, because if the Tanai is mountains that they're very high, then hills are not going to make the grade. But you're saying maybe there are no mountains. I hear your answer. And then we come into our subject, Vala Yomim, Vala Narois, and on seas and rivers, Vala Midbaris, and deserts, Oymer Bruch, Oise, Voracious. Rabbi Yehuda says, seemingly arguing, Oymer Horoyes, a Yamagodel, Oymer Bruch, Shah says, a Yamagodel. Right, so probably everybody's familiar with the Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah explains, what are we doing making this bracha of Oise, Mais, Voracious? What exactly are we supposed to be thinking as we make that bracha? So he says, in Reish Chav Ches, if Katan Aleph, he says, Kivin Shesidrin Be'az, since they were established in Maisa Bereshis, V'shvach Esho Mokim Hu, and it's a praise for Hashem, K'sha'anu Makirin Hayoim, when we can see ourselves today, Davar Sha'anu Yoidim Shomokim Borim Mesheshim Bereshis, V'dayin Hu Kayim. Since we can recognize something which testifies to Hashem having created this in the time of Sheshim Bereshis, that's a shrach to him that we can say, oh, this thing was made then and it's still around. Which is really an interesting idea, because you would have thought you don't need mountains and hills to do that, because every time you go for a walk in the park, or you go up and down, okay, so the roads have been paved, but this whole area has been since Sheshim Bereshis. So it seems to be, we want something in its natural state. We want something as it was then and as recognizable as it was then we can say this gives a certain testimony to Hashem. And also, we're picking things that have a certain greatness to them. If you just see, a small stream, which may also have been Sheshim Bereshis, we'll see that you can't always assume that, but that's not good enough. So it seems to be a combination of seeing it was from before, and also it shows a certain greatness in what Hashem created. So now, the first subject, I think we're going to have two main subjects, but some smaller ones along the way, is the Mishnah referred to as Hayam HaGadol, and it also referred to Hayamim, the seas. So now, what are they? What are we referring to? Because the Mishnah is giving two different brachas. So, people probably have an opinion already, but we're going to see, actually, there are quite a few opinions brought in the poskim. And And we need to define what is the Great Sea and what are the rest of the seas. So the Shulchan Aruch starts with an opinion which seems to be pretty straightforward. And he says like this, Al hayamim v'naris harim gavoyis midbaris oimer bruchat ha'ashem alakeinu melech olamayisim ayisim bereishis. V'al hayam agadol v'hu hayam, here gives a clear definition, hu hayam sh'oivrim bo eretz Yisrael l'mitzrayim, the sea that you would travel from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, which I think we'd all agree is the Mediterranean. Oimrim bruchat ha'ashem alakeinu melech olamayisim ayisim hayam agadol. So now, it could strike you straight away that the Mechaber had just paskened like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? We said the Tanna Kamma didn't make any mention of a Yam HaGadol. Comes along the Mechaber and he takes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and says he's kaveyed in the Shulchan Aruch as being worthy of a Brocha. And the question number one is why? Why are we paskening like Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanna Kamma was very straightforward. One Brocha suits, one size fits all. So you could say Tanna Kamma is Rabbi Meir, and we say Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, the halacha is Rabbi Yehuda. But if it's the Rabbanan, then we're going to need an explanation, which we're going to come back to. But in any event, we seem to have two separate brachas brought in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Mishnah Berurah explains why, if you think about it, if I would ask you, which sea is the Great Sea? Intuitively, which is the Great Sea? Anybody have an opinion? What's the Great Sea? Which one?
Oceans.
Mediterranean, you'd say? Atlantic. And I think the Great Sea, if you compare the Mediterranean to the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian, which are all basically one large sea, that one is much, much greater than the other. And we need an explanation, why would we call the Mediterranean the Great Sea? What's great about it? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, V'nikri yam ha'gadol b'nei chashivusoi shel Eretz Yisrael. Its greatness comes in being attached to Eretz Yisrael, not because it's greater in size. And that's what the Mechaber holds as the Great Sea. But the Mishnah jumps in and says straight away, Aval harbe achreinim pligi ala Mechaber. Lots of achreinim argue on this, and they say that's not correct. V'savalei diyam al yamu kainis. Now, kainis is a word we have to get used to for this year, because this is how the poskim refer to the Atlantic, Pacific, and Indian Oceans. They give it one big name, the Ukainis.
Okeanos, which is ultimately basically the same word.
Okay. And the Mediterranean, what do they call? The Tichon. Tichon, right? So if I use the words interchangeably, people just keep track of which is which. The Ukainis is referring to the Great Sea, meaning the seas that wrap around the world. And the Tichon is referring to the Mediterranean. So if I slip back and forth, that's because the Poskim use that word as well. Shehu ha-yam ha-gadol shebekol ha-yamim ha-makif es kol ha-ilam olav. As the Mishnah says, this Ukainis wraps around the entire world. It's certainly a greater size of sea. V'kav v'brach v'pnei atzim v'pnei gadloi. And according to the Mishnah Berurah, the greatness is in its size. Whereas the Mechaber said the greatness is because of its connection to Eretz Yisrael. But he argues regarding the Mediterranean, al-yam, sh'ovrim boy, al-Eretz Yisrael, lo nikra le'inyin zeh yam ha-gadol. But the Mediterranean is not, he says quite clearly, the Mediterranean is not the yam ha-gadol. Umvarchan alav kamoy al-shar yamim. We say on it, like every other sea, we say, oisam ayis gracious. V'dad b'kol ha-brachas eila ina ela kishiroya oisam mishleishis yom l'shleishim yom. It has to be 30 days apart before you can say the bracha again. So it means you go to, I don't know, let's say for the sake of discussion, you go to Chlan Dudno and you make the bracha, and then you go back for whatever reason 2 weeks later, so it's not yet time, you're not allowed to make the brachas. But some of the Birkas Ariya, you have to wait 30 days, and that will come back to as well, the 30 days, because it's very relevant to cases of Safek. So let's just recap. We've got the Mechaber and the Mishmer having an all-out machlokes. The Mechaber is saying the Mediterranean is the Great Sea and not the Atlantic. And the Mishnah Berurah is saying just the opposite, that the Atlantic is the Great Sea and not the Mediterranean. Okay. This opinion of the Mishnah Berurah, not surprisingly, is very common in the Poskim, because we know the Mishnah Berurah was some of these, actually these form were before the Mishnah Berurah, but the Minchas Yitzhak takes on like him, he was after, Hilchas Shlomo takes on, and another one from the Rav of Australia, but I don't think it was exclusively, it didn't start at the times of the Mishnah Berurah. This is a very common halachic opinion, and we're going to deal with it quite a bit. However, the Bir Halacha adds that b'di'evad, if you made oisamaisa b'reishis, then even the Mishnah Berurah agrees it works. And the reason being, what's with oisamaisa b'reishis? You say it's a specific bracha. And Yamagala is a specific bracha. He says no. He says it's like she'akol. What does that mean? Atam ipnei she'chashivus ha'kavod lo bracha la'atzmo. Really, we gave the great sea its own bracha. Near the imber chalav oisamaisa b'reishis yotze b'di'evad. Dehu doyme l'birkas she'akol. So this is accurate. Both C's remain in Maisa Bereishis, number one. And number two, the nature of Maisa Bereishis, he says, is a general klali stick of bracha. What's the proof for that? Where did we see that it's such a broad and all-encompassing bracha? Maybe remember? In the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on all sorts of different things, on deserts, on mountains, all sorts of things you can say it. So we see it's a broadly inclusive bracha. Okay. There's one other point in this. Now, we've said the Mechaber, and we don't want to disregard the Mechaber's opinion too quickly. The Poskim seem to take on, and probably many of you do this, when you go to the Atlantic, I mean, I had typically done this, I would have said, it's a Yamagadol. But the Minchas Yitzchak adds, the Toch Kedei Dibur of having said it, you should say, Oisamaisa b'reishis, not Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Oisamaisa b'reishis, but rather just the words Oisamaisa b'reishis, which is an interesting concept, because what are you saying by that? You've said the correct bracha is a Yamagadol, and then Tochei Dibur you're changing to a different ending. So which bracha do you hold is right? So it seems I had a conversation with Rafalk and Diane Dunner, and they both took on that this is the correct anhaga, partially because they held that Dine Weiss's psak was the Iker psak for England, and generally, and in this case as well. And the way the Rafalk said to me was, since you could make Siyama Gadol on the Atlantic, so it's a shame, this was the Nusak, it's a shame not to make that bracha, but to cover yourself in case it's not the right bracha, you say, Oisamaisa b'reishis. But if you think in that, it's a strange idea. What is the bracha you're trying to make? Which bracha are you saying is the correct bracha? Manav Shach. If Tochei Dibur you're changing, then you're essentially, you could say you're uprooting your original bracha of a Yamagadol. Or do we say, no, you really made a Yamagadol, and now somehow you can throw in some words at the end, and that is going to be a tikkun in some small way by grabbing the other bracha as well. But so anyway, that's just agav, as we said. This is what Rafalk and Diane Dunner both held, that was by them the correct mahalach. When you see the seas around England, you say it's a Yamagadol, and then Tochei Dibur you add Oisamaisa b'reishis. So now I've told you two shitas, and they're the opposite extremes. So there are actually two more opinions. But the question is, what's left? How many? We've tried every possibility. What else are you going to say? So actually, the Shailas and Shibit Tzela Chochma comes up with a very interesting mahalach. He says that the Mechaber, when he said that you make on the Mediterranean, see, Yamagadol, he didn't mean only the Mediterranean, he meant also the Mediterranean. That means he understands that on both the Atlantic, or the Echinus, all the world sea, and the Mediterranean, they all get a Yamagadol. And the Chiddush of the Mechaber was just that it also deserves a Yamagadol. The problem is, if you go back to the Mishnah, which we began like, then who says this? Whose opinion is this? Rabbi Yehuda didn't say it. Rabbi Yehuda said a Yamagadol was on the Great Sea, implying not the other seas. And the Tanakhama said other seas get it, but who exactly are we going like? So he answers that really it's not a machlokes. We all know there's a rule that sometimes Rabbi Yehuda comes to explain the Tanakhama, and he said that's what's happening over here. Rabbi Yehuda is just explaining the Shitas Tanakhama by saying, the Tanakhama told you the general principle, and now I'm giving you a detail in what the Tanakhama meant. In which case, we are paskening like both of them, essentially. Okay. So now what about the other opinions? The other opinions which said, who are we paskening like? They'll say, we're only paskening like Rabbi Yehuda. Why would we do that? So we gave one reason, because he beats Rabbi Meir, or another reason, because the Gemara is very busy with Rabbi Yehuda, and we seem to follow that opinion. The fourth opinion is the opinion brought in some of the other common svarim for Psak, which is the Chai Adam, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and the Aruch HaShulchan. And they all say the exact opposite. They say you make Osam Isa Bereshis on everything. So we've got every possibility you could possibly want mentioned. Now, what do they say? So Chai Odom says, straightforward, Ali Yamim Valaharim Vagavoyis Hamufur Samim. This is the first time we've had this idea. It has to be a famous kind of a mountain. Machmas Gavoyim, because of their height. He says, and all of these, you say, Osam Isa Bereshis. The Kitzer says the same thing, Alarm Biyamim Vagavoyis, and before Samim Ba'ilam, Mavarach Osam Isa Bereshis. So the question is why? And the only one who gives us insight into why we would be making Osam Isa Bereshis on everything of these three is the Aruch HaShulchan. And he says, he starts off by saying some of what we've said before. He says, it would appear to him, L'chorek Kain Iker to Nehida HaTorah Kora Liyam Samach L'Eretz Yisrael Liyam HaGadol. He says, really, the Torah may call the sea next to Eretz Yisrael, Yom HaGadol, Zeh Mipnei Sheyom Sovim as Eretz Yisrael, because amongst the seas next to Eretz Yisrael, it's the biggest. But there's not much of a competition, he says. Avah B'loshen HaMishnah, we're referring to the Yom HaGadol refers to the kindness, because Haloi Ka'ayin V'Ka'efes Hu Negadu Kindness, because compare the Mediterranean, says the Atlantic, there's no comparison in the size. So because it's the great seas around Eretz Yisrael, but that's like saying, I'm the fellow who's washed the most dishes in my house. It's, who am I competing with exactly? It's not true anyway. But who are you comparing yourself with? So it's the biggest sea around Eretz Yisrael. That's not such a big sea. So he says, we should really say the Atlantic is the great sea. But he says, Aval Mefarshim lo Pirshukain, and as a result, we have to say that we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. There's so many. There's a machlokas in both directions. I would have said one way. The mafarshim don't learn like that. So he leaves it because, like we said, it's an all-inclusive bracha to say Osam Isa Bereshis out of Suffolk. Fine. So we made it through the four shitas, and now we're going to see some of the interesting cases that come out. Because if it would just be one shita, they'd be cut and dry. What you do, right? I'll just mention that Rav Moshe Feinstein went to Atlantic City. And Atlantic City is not a place that I would have ever imagined Rav Moshe Feinstein fitting in, but there must be something to do there for a Gadol Ador. And I think it was his son or his grandson testified that he made Osam Isa Bereshis, which is not like the Mishnah Berurah, and yes, like the Aruch HaShulchan and others. So it's just an interesting maisa that as much as we say the Mishnah Berurah is the final halacha, but it seems Rav Moshe didn't take on that it was the final halacha. And another point, if you're ever in a place where, for whatever reason, you have a suffix which bracha to make, you should remember the Bir Halacha, which says you're always safe, b'di'evid, with Osam Isa Bereshis, just like if you're ever stuck and there's no one to ask, and you, whatever reason you have to eat, you could, b'di'evid, make a shakol. But really, ideally, that's not the position we want to be in, and we always want to sort out the answer to our bracha shaylas before we get stuck in them. I mean all of them. I'm just saying Atlantic is the one we're closest to, but it's the same, the Pacific and the Indian. So very good. We're going to see, and so the question comes out, that seems to be by, I was going to mention it coming up, maybe we'll mention it now, that the seas and the desert and so forth, you can still make, Shailas and Jivit Salam Chochma says, you can make from an aeroplane. The question is by mountains, because by mountains, what was once, when you're down below, a very impressive sort of enormous thing, when you're flying over the Alps, you know, it looks kind of like a toy set. It doesn't look this massive, impressive thing, and that's where more of the posts can get busy. Can you make the bracha in that case? But on the oceans, it seems clear, because an ocean looks vast, whether you're above it or whether you're at sea level, maybe a bit more vast at your sea level, but you still see, you know, flying over the Atlantic, this unending blue ocean, and you get the impression. Also, we don't see the depth anyway, so you just see the surface. So you're seeing the surface from above, so you can make the bracha. I'll tell you one other thing, only because two Talmid Chachamim, when they were discussing with me, they threw this out, and I don't know how to apply it. They said there are rabbanim in town who tell you to try to minimize saying these brachas altogether. Now, I don't really understand how you're going to do that, because if I go with my family to the beach and I see the ocean. So then, what am I going to do to minimize making these brachas? It's true, I don't have to make a special trip to the ocean, but if I'm there anyway, so now, l'chor, I've got a chiyuv to make the bracha, according to all the poskim we've said before. So I didn't know if what they meant was that you should leave out shem v'malchus, which is often a solution if you get into these situations where, we'll see later on, the suffix and whatever else, maybe you could leave it out, and perhaps that's what they were suggesting. But in all the sforim that I looked in, I never saw any of the poskim saying that you should try to avoid these brachas, which is not the same as saying you have to run to make these brachas, which is, you know, there's the story going around now about Arnon Steinman, which he was in a plane. I've heard the story four times, so I apologize if you're ahead of me in the story, but if you haven't, it's a story worth hearing. He was offered a private plane by a gevir who wanted to get him around the world to speak and to Marbitz Torah and Mechazik people. Fine, so he's flying, and he gets near Gibraltar. And as he's going over Gibraltar, whoever was with him said to him, you know, Reb Chaim Knievsky holds, this is the one place in the world where you can, without any svekas, make as a Yamagodol, because you're looking at both of the major oceans simultaneously. So there are different versions as to what happens next. But the basic way the story goes is that he said to whoever he's with, it's true what you're saying, but I have a hanhaga that I'd never look outside of my Dalet Amos. So I'm not going to get up and look out the window. Now, it's a good joke, because if you think about what he's saying, it's, okay, you never look out of Dalet Amos when you're on the roads, when you're walking around people or things that are questionably tznius. But in the ocean, over the ocean at 20, 30,000 feet, you couldn't see preetzus if you tried. Even with the best binoculars, you're not going to pick up on it. But he held that it seems to be that once you have anhaga, you have to stick with anhaga ad hasof. You have to stay with it, and you don't break it for exceptions here and exceptions there. He felt that was such a great mila. The other ending to the story, which again, people can tell me which one they think is right. Maybe we could take a vote at the end, or we could ask somebody who really knows. They said that by me, the nifloes abora in the Daf Gemara. So very nice. But the point from that ending of the story was that we're not mechuyev to run around and look for opportunities to make these brachas. If your kids say to you, two outings today, we want to either go to the beach or mini golf. Say, no, we've got to go to the beach because we can make the bracha. It's not clear that that's really a good argument. They asked by the bracha on Ilanos, why are we running around to make the bracha? And the answer that I saw was basically Alpi Kabbalah. That in terms of a bracha on seeing Birkas Ariyah is not really justified to run around and to look. And we know by the rainbow and so forth, you shouldn't spend your time staring at it. But we don't have to run around looking for the big mountain and the big sea and the ocean, whatever else. If you're there, the opportunity presents yourself. But that's not like these poskim who were quoted to me seem to say. They say you should somehow be mamayat in making the bracha, maybe leaving out Shem V'malchus. I don't believe you have to tell your kids we must play mini golf. I don't think there's any such approach. Yeah, someone else mentioned it to me.
Is this a daily bracha? So if you live on this ocean, you say every day you wake up, look out your window.
No.
So the post can ask your question slightly differently. Let's say, I've asked a fellow I know from Williamsburg, I said to him, what do you think about the shir? He said, the ocean, like I saw it every day when I go to high school in my bus, I would see it every day. So they ask like this, imagine you're a person who lives by the sea, and you go to a camp, 30 days, you go wherever in New York to one of these summer camps, and then you come back to Williamsburg. So you didn't see the sea for 30 days. If you see the sea every 5 days, so then you can't make it. But now you didn't see the sea for 3 months. So the poskim ask, by this person, is there anything to be amazed about it? Or you say, no, by him this is just like, you know, some people have the rain of Manchester, well, he has the Atlantic Ocean out his door. That's what he sees every day. It doesn't make any impact. So they ask your question, and it's not only one day as to what to do in such a case. Machlekes. You're used to seeing something. If you lived at the foot of Mont Blanc, and then you go away for a month, and you come back, but Mont Blanc is just like the wallpaper to you. There's nothing exciting about that. Okay, so as I said, we've got the basic shitas. I want to explain some interesting cases that come out from this. So this is a case close to home. If you're flying eastward from America and you're going over the Atlantic and then you go over the Mediterranean and then you land in Eretz Yisrael. So you've just flown over both of these oceans. So what bracha do you make? Or what brachas do you make? Anybody want to give it a try? What would you expect?
If you approach the ocean long before you come to the Mediterranean.
Right, so you're flying over the Atlantic, you pull up the blinds.
You're going to later on see the But the thing is, a separate shaila whether you should make another bracha.
Okay, but that's right. But that's the question. So over the Atlantic, we all agree, whatever bracha you're going to make there, you're going to make there. Let's say, for the sake of discussion, the Yamagadol. Now, they tell you, right, ladies and gentlemen, we've just passed over southern France or whatever is Spain, and now we're heading towards the Mediterranean. You look out, and sure enough, there's another sea. Now, what bracha do you make? So you say, well, what's the shaila? It's a different sea. But if you remember what we've said now, there are opinions that hold that they're the same bracha. So it could be you've already included it in your first bracha, and on top of that, there are shitas, I think Shlomo Zalman says, that it's one continuous body of water. That means, because if it's one continuous body of water, then your bracha was chal on this whole stretch of sea. Now, you can understand that's a bit tricky to say such a thing, because if it's all one continuous body of water, then why am I making two different brachas on it? How can I possibly do that? The other thing is, how could you make a bracha on something you haven't seen, you're not going to see for another 5 hours? How does that work? Imagine I'm driving by Mont Blanc, and I see it over there, and then I drive 5 hours, and I come to another famous mountain, the Matterhorn. So now what are you going to say? Because all of the ground is connected, and that mountain essentially is all one goof with the Matterhorn, so now you can't say a bracha on it. So it's hard to understand, but nevertheless, it seems to be by water a different swara, that somehow it's all continuous. And as a result, I saw in some of the poskim, they say you should not make the second bracha. When you said it's a Yamagadol, and because perhaps the Yamagadol also applies to the Mediterranean, so then you shouldn't repeat it. And hu adin, if your Rav tells you to say it's my sabratius, you can't make it because of the same reasoning, you could have already covered it. There's one additional point. The Sefer Halach Bamisecha, he adds that if you didn't have it in mind, that when you get to the Mediterranean, so then you could say the brach without Shem V'Malchus. So you said on the Atlantic, you get to the Atlantic, and you could say without Shem V'Malchus, so at least you've said it to some degree. And what about going the other way? So we've more or less spoken this out, and that is you're first going to fly over the Mediterranean, so the bracha will say is Oisamai Sabaratius, according to Mishnah Berurah, and that may have covered you for the Atlantic. So when you fly, I don't know how the planes fly, if they fly from Eretz Yisrael through the Mediterranean, then back up the coast to who knows where, on the western coast of England, but if they would, then the same shaila has nothing to do with America. I just happen to like speaking about America, it reminds me of home. But nevertheless, the same shaila is relevant to those of us who live in England. You would have already covered it. And as we said before, the idea of making the bracha through an airplane or through binoculars is not a problem. The poskim seem to take on that's called a seeing. It's called a seeing. Ah, it's through the glass. It's through the magnification of the lenses. They take on that's okay. But there's one condition, and that is very often it's not a clear sky. That means you can make out the ocean below, but you may be looking through layers of clouds. So it becomes a bit undefined, if it's hazy, if obscured view. What stage do you say that you're seeing the ocean in its beauty or in its greatness? And I would suggest, personally, I don't know if I'm right, you should wait till you get to a place where it's clear, because or it's almost clear, like we say on the Levana. You know, it has to be something where it's clear what you're looking at. Okay, there's a bit of cloud cover, whatever, so you can see the moon through it, or you can see the ocean through it. It shouldn't be that you can just about make out that there's an ocean down there. Yeah, that's another question I was going to discuss. What happens if it's at night? So I'll say it now because you've asked it. So they say it's possible to be impressed with the ocean at night, but realistically, unless you've got a lot of moonlight and you've got clear conditions, most people are not that impressed, because it just looks like a black mass, and even with no detail. So unless you get, actually when I was in Eretz Yisrael maybe a year ago, and it was, the night we arrived, it was a beautiful, clear, full moon, and the ocean was very, very obvious in its dimensions and so forth, and that would be a case. But if it's a cloudy night or it's not so much moon, then they don't seem to be encouraging you to make the bracha. The problem is going to come out in those cases that if you did see it in those conditions, what happens when you wake up the next morning and you want to make the bracha? Because you're in a suffix now. But what do I mean? On the one hand, hopefully we'll get there. If not, we'll have to continue a different time. But when you see the ocean and you forget to make the bracha, you've put yourself into a big problem, because you've already had the moment of inspiration, you've already had the moment of seeing the greatness of the sea, you didn't make the bracha, then you went off to get your chips from wherever, and you come back and you realize, oh, this is my second viewing. So the poskim, which I was going to get to, argue about, can you say it in the second viewing? So in the same way, when you look out the plane as you're landing, let's say in Ben Gurion or Tel Aviv or wherever you're landing over there, so then you're seeing the ocean. Now, did you make the bracha then? Maybe not. But you saw it, and you may have even seen it with decent lighting conditions. So now you go to wherever your hotel is and you say, okay, kids, let's go to the ocean. Wonderful. But you've already seen the ocean.
You're seeing it much better though now per day.
Okay, so that, but I'm saying you've created a bit of a suffix in your bracha by doing it. I'm not saying you quickly run over and you shut the blinds on your kids when they're saying, oh, look, you know, we're landing. No, no, kids, don't look. Sorry, I'm taking the window seat. Yeah, so it won't go over well. But I'm just saying, you have to know, before you get in that situation, can you make the bracha as you're landing? Should you make the bracha as you're landing? And it's arguable, if the lighting conditions are good, you should. If all you're seeing is the lights along the coastline, and that shows you where the sea is, because, you know, it's all light here and all dark there, I don't know if that's called seeing the ocean. You're just seeing the boundaries of the ocean based on what's dark and what's light, but you're not really seeing the ocean as such. Okay. One of the Nakuda, which is, we've spoken the whole time now about the Mediterranean and the Ukainus, the Atlantic and so forth, but believe it or not, as we all know, there are lots of other seas in the world, and let's not neglect them. So you've got the Caspian Sea, you've got the Black Sea, I don't know who would want to go to either of those places, but you also have, in the Lake District, you have some very, Windermere, and I don't know, you travel around, you find some very big lakes and seas, and the question is, because we said the Mechaber mentioned, you do make a bracha on other seas. So if you make brachas on other seas, what happens now if you see the Atlantic, and then you go to the, let's for sake of discussion, go to the Black Sea? So do we say that you're covered, because within 30 days?
You said it's a chibur, you said the waters are a chibur.
Right, so now what's the chibur between the Black Sea and the...
All the waters around the world, they are connected.
But the Black Sea, unless I'm mistaken, has a I think it's landlocked, isn't it?
Three Bosphorus.
How wide are they? Anybody know? So how about the Caspian Sea? Caspian Sea is landlocked?
Yes.
Okay, so let's discuss the Caspian Sea. So the Black Sea is a bad example. But the Caspian Sea is landlocked. So now the post can say clearly you can make a new bracha. So you flew over the Atlantic, and then you're landing wherever you go to near the Caspian Sea. It's a totally different sea. So it's two different brachas. It's like seeing Mount Blanc and then seeing the Matterhorn. They have two separate entities, and you can make two separate brachas, even though it's within 30 days. Okay, and we spoke about in Gibraltar. Now, the last case which I wanted to get to, which maybe I'll just have to throw out as a question, I don't know if we'll get to an answer, and this is incredibly shchiach here around England, and that is where you don't have a clear view looking out of the ocean. When you go to the Atlantic City in America and you're standing on the East Coast and you just see wide open ocean. But very often, if you look at the map of England, you'll see that there are tons and tons of bays and inlets. And let's say you go to the end of the River Thames, but not mamish to the end of the River Thames. So you're seeing a river that's dumping into the sea. Or if you're, I think in Llandudno, there's one of the sides there, you see land on an awful lot of where you're standing. And if you look at a map, you'll see that not so far away from you is Ireland. And everything is more or less contained within a circle of land. It's true there are outlets to the ocean, but people get confused. Is that considered a seeing the ocean proper, or is that just considered seeing an inlet really that's landlocked? Because we said if something's landlocked, so then we're not so quick to call it the ocean proper. So the first case, and again I'm not sure how much we'll get through this, is when you get to the river's end. So I've never been to the end of the Thames. Apparently the names of places that people visit there, people probably know them. But the further you go down the river, at what stage do you say that the river's widening and widening, widening, now you're seeing the sea? Anybody want to take a guess? What would they have said intuitively? You're now looking at the sea.
Maybe when you can't see from one coast to one side to the other.
Very good. That is what Dine Dinner said to me. He said, if you're in a place where you're just seeing the river banks running, it's true they're getting wider and wider, but essentially all you're seeing is river banks, then you're still within the bounds of the river. And if it's the kind of river that you can't make a bracha on, because we're going to say not every river you can make a bracha on. I've never heard anybody make the bracha on the Thames. Maybe somebody can tell me there is somebody who's done that. But that will be the end of the river. Someone else said to me a swara, which is rivers have a stream, they have a current. And Kolzman, that current is pushing out into the ocean, it's essentially connected to the sea. So it could be once you see the current ends, then you know that you're now facing the ocean. I'll give you a strange case. Imagine you go to Land's End on the Cornwall coast, and as you're standing there, you have three possible views. Right? Everybody know where I'm talking about, roughly?
Oh, yeah.
Test back in geography from your youth. So as you stand there, if you're facing due northwest, what are you facing?
Irish
Sea and then Ireland. If you face southeast on that point, what are you facing? France. And you face west, so you're facing the Atlantic Ocean. So is it possible that in one place you could have different brachas? Because you could say if the English Channel is not cut off enough from the is too cut off from the Atlantic, so then it doesn't deserve a Siyama Gadol, it deserves maybe a Semaisa Bereishis. And then you turn around the other way, and now you're going to face the Atlantic, and now you can say a Siyama Gadol. It seems very counterintuitive that there would be such a possibility. And in fact, Dayan Dunner, when I spoke to him, he said an answer, which is obvious after you hear it, but then he added a little point to it. He said, but once you're standing there, you've seen the Atlantic Ocean. That means unless you come with blinders on and you only look across, let's say, in the case of the river, let's say you come to the river's end, and I asked for Falk, what happens if you're looking up the river as opposed to off towards the ocean? He said, yeah, if you'd only look up river, then you couldn't make the brach on the sea. But Dayan Dunner said, what kind of a case is this? Who turns up at the coastline and only looks in one direction? It must be that you've seen all the directions, Papashtis, so in which case you've seen the Atlantic Ocean. So he takes on that once you've seen the Atlantic Ocean, the way he put it is, you can then close your eyes and say all the kavanas of the Arizal. So I said to him, I'll have to come by for some shimush in that. But his point was, you don't need to have your eyes open when you make the bracha. You saw what you saw, then you close your eyes and you can say your bracha. So it's interesting because we call it Birkas Ariyah. And I think we would say that the hispalus, the amazement of the thing, is what we're making the bracha on. It would be like, a bracha on a piece of fruit and then you don't eat the fruit. It doesn't make sense. You have to eat the fruit. You have to be getting hanah immediately after you make the bracha. But he didn't take on like that. He took on that the amazement of looking at the thing is that's affected you now. And now you can close your eyes, go into your own mind and think about Niflor, Saburi, whatever you want to think about, Kavanas, etc. And that's perfectly good bracha. So according to Tim, it's poshut that whenever you arrive at any coast and you could see from one direction properly the Atlantic Ocean, then it becomes suitable for the bracha Siyama Gadol on the Atlantic, and you don't have to limit yourself or not make the bracha. Just because we're running out of time, I will try to finish up. The last case which I thought of was if you have on an inland waterway, near where my parents live, you have the Florida coast, and there are islands that are very thin that are along the Florida coast. And if you're facing the land side, it's all the same water as the ocean, as the Atlantic Ocean, but you're not seeing the Atlantic Ocean. You're seeing the water of the Atlantic Ocean, but not the Atlantic Ocean itself. So it seems from that, this is according to what we're saying, that you can't make the bracha, because at a certain point, something becomes so narrowly cut off. Shlomo Zalman says, interestingly, about the Red Sea, he says that it's too cut off. Now, the Red Sea is, I think, 16 miles wide at its narrowest point before you go into the Red Sea proper. So, in which case, this is much narrower. This is a couple hundred yards wide, and it will be cut off, and it will be cut off, and you cannot make the bracha on it. Now, we have 1 minute left or so, so I'm just going to finish with the joke. The joke is that it's based on a halacha first. It says the two versions which say Asa Yama Gadol, Asa Yama Gadol, or Oisa Yama Gadol. Past tense or or future, or present tense or past tense? Past tense. You say, well, you know, it's a very minuscule difference. I heard a joke about how one little word makes a difference. There is there's a rabbi in his hat, on a windy day, is blowing down the street. And he's not so fit, and he's racing after, the wind keeps blowing it. And a Goyish boy sees the rabbi struggling, so he's fit, and he's young, and he runs, and he picks up the hat, and he brings it to the rabbi. He says to the rabbi, here you go. The rabbi says, oh, I'm so pleased with you, I'd like to give you something as a reward. So he reaches his wallet and gives him $20, and then he says, I want to give you a blessing, you should be successful. Fine. So the boy takes it, and so he's so excited about it, and he comes home 2 hours later. His father says to him, where have you been? So he says to his father, I think with the rabbi and the hat and the blessing. So he said, so what? So he said, so well, I put it all together, I realized I probably should go to the race course. So he said, oh, I said, horse racing. Fine. So he goes to the, so what happens? So he says, I went to the first race, I looked in the names of the horses, and one of the names of the horses was Top Hat. So I put the whole thing together, the rabbi's blessing, the $20, what could go wrong? So I put it on, and wouldn't you know, the odds on it were very, very good. $20, I came away with $2,000. Well, that's fantastic. So he says, well, then I looked in the second race, and there was a hat called Bowler. So I thought, Bowler hats, the rabbi's hat, the rabbi's blessing, making all this money, fantastic. I'll put it on to Bowler. Wonderful. What happens? Bowler comes out, it was a loser horse, and it wins. So he says, so now I've got $60,000. So the father says, you mean to tell me you've just come home with $60,000? So he says, no, there was a third race. So he said, so what happened there? So he said, in the third race, I looked at the names of the horses, and I looked through, and there was a horse called Chateau. So I thought, Chateau, French for hats, wonderful, I'll put it on Chateau. And the father says to him, but Chateau doesn't mean hat, it's a big house, Chapeau means hats. So he says to his father, oh, no wonder it lost. So he says, well, so what happened in the end? So he said, well, it was some Japanese horse, Yamaka. So he also recited to be a guy up in Heribi, you may know.
Relevant to this, yeah. Look at the Meshachot, so it's a bruch, a young, the expression, a young Achron.
Okay.
He explained the young Achron because he said,